Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met. Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to the next episode of the City Confessions. Today, I'm at Tiana's house or apartment, Lower East Side. Hey! So, I have Tiana Ibrahimovic. That was good?
Yes, very well.
Thank you. I practice, guys. She's a broadcast journalist, celebrity host, luxury style expert, a fabulous, badass woman, and of course, a great energy, beautiful creature that I know. So welcome.
Oh my goodness, what an introduction, Marianne. I love it. I'm a fan as well. And I'm very grateful to be here to share some of my city confessions.
Yeah, I can't wait. Okay, so wait, let's tell the audience. First of all, did I describe you well? Do you want to explain more of what you do?
Well, let's start with an applause for you because you pronounced my last name very well, which most people have a little bit of a trouble with. So that's number one. And another thing is, I think your intro was more than perfect.
Thank you.
I sometimes have troubles describing myself as well.
I think there's two types of people. People who love talking about themselves and know exactly what to say. And then the other people who are like, what do I say?
Right. So, or like, oh my God, I do so many things. Right. Which one am I going to pick?
Yeah.
But first of all, I am a broadcast journalist. That's my first title. And that is how I first got involved with all the other things that followed. So, broadcast journalist that loves to be on camera and loves to be recorded. But most of all, I'm very social, so I like to meet people, and I like to talk to people, and I like to discover things about them and about their lives. So that's how it led me into being a lifestyle expert and getting to know all the corners of the city and getting to know about other people's professions, etc. So yeah. I'm very glad that now you get to ask me questions.
Yeah, it's like tables have turned. Yeah. Wait, let's tell the audience how we met. What, I think it was 2015, correct?
It
because
was
I remember
2015. Oh, wow.
I started my blog around 2014 or 2015, but I remember it was like the same year. And it was also during like October. Because I remember it was just like kind of getting cold. And so it's been like, oh my God, like 3 years. That's amazing.
Yes, it's a long time. I'll tell you what I remember from that okay. that time we met. It was getting cold, and I was supposed to go to the event that we met at on West Broadway in Soho.
Yeah.
But I was getting a chemical peel right before that. And I was thinking, oh my God, am I going to make it? Am I going to be too red to go show up? But I mean, I seemed fine.
Yeah. Right? And I think we clicked instantly, right?
We did.
But I think we were just like chatting. And then I'm pretty sure the topic of neighborhoods came up because I think we also were like, oh my God, I live also in the Lower East Side.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I remember that there was about 20 other girls there. And I think, I mean, out of those 20, you're the one that I'm closest to.
Thank you. Yeah, I can confidently say that as well.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the city. Are you a native? Tell me about your upbringing with New York and just your relationship.
I consider myself a New Yorker, even though I was not born here. I was born in Serbia, but I came to New York to go to school. So first I went to college, then university. But the reason why I feel like a New Yorker is because those are the years where I sort of developed, and mm-hmm. those are the years where I became Tiana that I am today. Mm-hmm. So I could not imagine myself living any other type mm-hmm. of lifestyle but a New Yorker lifestyle, just because I feel like most New Yorkers are very comfortable in who they are very proud of their opinions and their habits. And there are certain habits you can only develop in this city, because everyone is always very active.
Right.
And we have so many options. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's how we pick friends too. Like if we understand each other on a social level as well. And you know, a lot of people are kind of offended when you say, oh, you don't live in the city, but right. they live in out yeah. of boroughs. And it just a little bit of difference if you live
no, I agree.
In Long Island yeah. city versus
yeah.
city.
I mean, you know, no hate towards Long Island people, but I feel the same way, because when I meet people and they're like, oh, I live in Queens. Like, yes, if we're technically speaking,
yes,
you are from New York City. But mm-hmm. I think if you are from New York City, you're like, that's not really considered.
So you're not from the island. Yeah.
So when you came to New York, did you automatically adapt, or did
no,
you?
No, okay, oh my God, I didn't like it at all.
No?
Well, you know, I come from a small town in Serbia that looks very Austro-Hungarian. Mm-hmm. So architecture is beautiful, everything is clean, and there is no too much noise. Mm-hmm. So when I first landed, I landed on 168th Street and Broadway. So that was a little bit of a cultural shock. And on 168th Street, there's a hospital there.
Yeah.
So besides like all the police cars, there was like the ambulance siren I could hear for days all the time. And it wasn't clean. It just seemed like a little bit of a messy situation. Mm-hmm. Because when you come to New York, you expect, you know, Park Avenue, Fifth Avenue, Plaza Hotel, like everything
on
I've
TV,
seen
yeah.
in like Home Alone. But the picture is more like Law and Order. So probably should have watched more of that show.
<That's> so funny.
So at first, because I moved here, and I sort of forced my parents to let me move to New York City.
Right.
I wasn't really allowed to complain. You know, right. I couldn't tell them like, oh my God, mommy, daddy, can you please get me out of here? Mm. I need to come back. So I sort of like had to face my decision. Mm-hmm. And I was already enrolled at school. Mm. So
yeah.
as international student, I had to go and
right.
attend classes. So it took a little while to get adjusted to seeing cockroaches and rats. I'm still not adjusted to that, by the way. Even though in Alphabet City we have
yeah,
a
yeah,
lot
I
of
know.
Them.
We just pretend we don't have it.
I know. Just kind of get used to ignoring
yeah.
them.
So is that your least favorite part of the city?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And what's your
it
favorite?
It will remain my least favorite part of the city forever. What's my favorite part of the city? Is just, it's, I don't know if that counts as a part of the city, but it's energy. Like
everybody says that, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the New York City energy.
You just can't deny it. It's contagious.
You can't get it anywhere else. Really.
Yeah.
Anywhere else.
So if you could describe New York in one word, what would that be?
Ooh. In one word, I would say it's a play.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
I mean, if it's one word, I have to elaborate on it. But it is a play with many, many acts. And
oh, my God. Wow. This is like your metaphor is insane. That's such an interesting outlook. I never thought about it. Tell me more.
I mean, can you see it?
Yeah.
You agree?
100%. And I think the best part is that as New Yorkers, like, yes, we share similar qualities, but we all have different perspectives. So it's so interesting because obviously I've interviewed other people and I, you know, we do get common answers like, oh, I would describe it as like fast paced and like very motivating. And I agree with all of those.
Mm-hmm.
But you said it's a play and that's
so yeah, funny. It's a play that just like on stage every night, there's like different energy and different type of reactions and different audiences mm-hmm. that you sort of feel as well when you're performing. I feel like that's how our lives are, because every day you're exposed to something new, sometimes good, sometimes bad. Sometimes it's a great surprise mm-hmm. that you would never expect. But those are things that only happen in this city. Like, right. I feel like sometimes we live through our week is equivalent to somebody's 6 months. Especially 100%. If you're like in entertainment industry or if you're a blogger or a lifestyle expert, there's so many things mm-hmm. you can face and you have to like learn how to react quickly. So again, like even in a play, if you forget your line yeah. or like make a mistake or the show must go on. Like there is no luxury of like being like, I can't do it.
Right.
I'm done.
Yeah.
You gotta, bye.
Yeah, that's
kind
so
of have to keep
interesting.
Going.
Okay, so tell me how you got into, I guess, broadcast journalism. Did you study that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So my first love was theater. Right. Back to a play uh-huh. again. So my first love was theater, and that's what I originally wanted to do. And I of course, television as well. So I wanted to, from stage, get onto television and film and series. But then when I came to New York, for some reason, I just decided to switch it to broadcast journalism. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always had like a strong voice and a clear voice. So that made sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you need for acting too, right. most of the time. But for some reason, I thought, oh my God, there are so many actors in this city. But then again, there are so many broadcast journalists too, but I wasn't as exposed, so I wasn't aware. But I don't regret my decision. I'm happy I made it, because I think I could learn more as a broadcast journalist and I could have like more experiences. So like each interview or each interaction brings something new into my life, versus with acting you kind of have to really get into your role and mm-hmm. live it like every day. So mm-hmm. So yeah, I studied broadcast journalism and it's still something I love doing, still enjoy it.
So for those of you guys who don't know, I think out of all my network of friends, you are the most fancy, classy. I don't even know if the word bougie is appropriate. But Tiana, you are bougie in the best way possible. I think even meeting you instantly, I was like, this girl is on another level. And again, not in a bad way. Like
right.
just super, just like admirable. And I feel like you just have like, you know, good taste, high quality. So
Thank you.
Because I'm sure you've had a million experiences with broadcast journalism, like your background and just like everything that you have done. Can you tell me one interesting story that relates back to New York? Like it could only happen in New York that maybe changed your trajectory of your life, or something that really stands out when you think about your career in New York?
What do you mean? Like in a way, like an achievement or like something
like
that
maybe
happened?
Like you met somebody, right? And had to obviously in New York, because you meet random people and like they like that one meeting changed your life or brought you this X opportunity. Like what's a standout moment in your career that you owe it to being maybe in the right place at the right time, meeting somebody specifically in New York?
Well, I guess the person I met that offered me to do a first red carpet coverage, I wasn't impressed so much with the person, and I still am not, even though, I mean, we're still somewhat in touch. But I do feel like thanks to this person, I did have, I was thrown onto a red carpet without any info. Yeah. Like, that's one of the negative things. So why I kind of now, years later, mm-hmm. it's been like 7-8 years, mm-hmm. feel like that person maybe didn't want the best for my career, but in a way, it did give me the methods to think quickly and mm-hmm. to think on my feet, and especially to now be able to cover any red carpet and do any interview without any knowledge. Of course, I don't do that, mm-hmm. but you know, when someone, so my first interview was Simon Cowell.
Oh my God.
And I didn't know.
How was that?
Well, he was very kind and very nice, okay. but it was intimidating because I didn't make it to this red carpet and I had no clue. I knew the name of the carpet, but mm-hmm. I didn't know who was nominated, what the awards were for, who will attend. Like, usually mm-hmm. you're provided all that information. But also me, English being my second language, I was like, okay, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. Nominated for what? Like, it was very confusing.
It's like a different world, right?
Yes. Especially when you get to interview a person like Simon Cowell for the first time on a red carpet, on your first red carpet ever. So, and he's known to not be very nice.
Yeah.
So I just, today, let's put it this way. Today, I would have asked him a much better question and the interview would have been much better. I mean, the station still used the interview that I conducted. Mm-hmm. But it did make me realize that I need to be better prepared. I need to have the information on my subject. I need to do research. And I also, years later, learned I do have to be more, you know, feel more equal to my subject as well.
That's,
you know, not
yes,
be super intimidated by like, oh my God, this guy will scream at me
yeah.
and tell me I can't, I can't interview or sing.
But I think that's the best part because one, everybody got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And second, when you look back, you're supposed to like cringe a little and be like, oh my God, because
yes.
that shows progress. Like yeah. I look back at some of the pictures I've taken or the blog posts that I've written, and I'm like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. But it's part of the journey.
Yes.
You know, so I think like
imagine you didn't see that you advanced.
Yeah,
like,
that's
that
the
would
worst.
Be a disaster.
That's even worse. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. So now that we kind of, you know, covered the bases.
Yes.
Let's talk about a little more serious topic. So I wanted to ask, and I asked all my guests this, if people listen, they know this, it's coming. Basically, what keeps you up at night? Because I think, first of all, none of our lives are perfect. We have a million things on our to-do list, errands to run. But sometimes when you're home alone and you're like kind of just, you know, talking to yourself, have a little mental conversation, like things start to surface eventually. And that's why I want to start this podcast, because I wanted to shed light on like real life issues of real New Yorkers. And so I wanted to just ask you, like, it can be currently right now, presently, or maybe some thoughts that you've had in the past, just like stuff that you're like, wow, this is stressing me out.
Well, if I may be a little bit general on this mm-hmm. answer, if I was to say what keeps me up at night is, I would say fear of failure. And the reason is because a lot of people see just the nice part of my work mm-hmm. and, you know, dressed up, going to like events, interviewing celebrities, you know, sipping champagne.
It seems so glamorous.
It seems very glamorous. But then at the same time, most people don't understand how much sacrifice it takes to make it in entertainment industry. I mean, just starting from my example, I left my family. I don't have any family yeah. here. I mean, my mom is still in Serbia, and and just that's just one example, you know. I'm separated from mm-hmm. her. So sometimes I think like, oh my goodness, I've done all this. I left my home. I left my family. I'm living in a tiny apartment in New York City. Mm-hmm. you know, sometimes without knowing what's going to happen the next day, or like, when am I going to be able to maybe even meet someone and like start my own family, you know. In this business, that's also very difficult because you have to go out yeah. every night to events mm-hmm. and it's not like my ideal future partner wants a woman right. that's out every night. So so those are some of the things that other people that see my work don't think about. And a perfect example to that is like when people tell you, oh, wow, it's easy for you. You've made it. Yes, after like 15 years mm-hmm. of trying like and overnight. Struggling, yeah. you know, like it really, most people think things happen overnight, but they don't. Mm-hmm. Or they just expect it to be delivered to them, right. you know, like, oh, can you find me a job?
Right.
No, I can't find you a job. Find your own job, yeah. you know, like, just like I'm trying to, you know, find jobs mm-hmm. all the time, because as a freelance, you have yeah. to.
You have to work for it.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think maybe that has to do with being living in New York. You have that attitude, because I also believe, you know, first of all, everybody is like, moving at such a fast pace that if you don't keep up, you're just gonna, you're not even gonna be on, you're not even gonna be eligible for racing. You're yeah, not gonna sit
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
And I feel like, so that's a good thing, right? Because you're thriving off of that energy and that hustle.
I love it though.
I love yes. it too. But also it's like, hello, we work for it. Like, I believe, like, at least for me personally too, nothing has ever been handed to me on a silver platter. Like, mm-hmm. everything that I've done. And I get the same kind of, I guess, reactions like, oh, it must be nice to work for yourself. It must be nice. But I'm like, I made a cautious decision to quit my job and, like, you know, pursue this whole lifestyle. But, like, you don't think I planned it? Like, it wasn't just an easy decision. Like, you have to be financially savvy, budget-wisely. And, again, like, just have the mindset of, like, work hard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's a misconception.
But I feel like with some characters, you pretty much have no choice. That's all oh, yeah. you can go for. I can't imagine myself sitting 9 to 5 working.
It's definitely a personality type. Yeah. yeah. I think because I did it and I realized it wasn't for me. Like, I just cannot be constrained. And it's like,
I you need the energy you mm-hmm. mentioned.
And I think that's one thing I don't like about our society right now, because I feel like it's ingrained in us to be like a 9 to 5 is the norm, and we don't, not everybody works like that, you know what I mean? Some people are night owls, some people are morning people, yeah. some people can only work well independently in a coffee shop, you know. It's
but that's where we come back to New York City. New York City is ideal for mm-hmm. people like us, because right. you know, there is something you can find that's interesting every right. day. You just yeah. have to look for it.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so now that we've spoken about that, I also wanted to transition into like the confessions component, which is kind of similar to what you said in a way, because I do think what keeps a certain person up at night can also be their confession, because that's when you kind of dive deeper into like your thoughts and like your feelings and just like your concerns.
Right.
So if you were to complete the sentence of like, my confession is, what would it be? And I want to preface that, like, obviously share whatever you're comfortable with, and it doesn't have to, I feel like some people expect like, oh my god, I need to reveal a dark secret. It's not about that. I'm just saying, what is something that maybe like people don't know about you that you wish they did, or have a misunderstanding or misconception about you, and just something that you would like to get off your chest?
I think that it's common with people that at least come across strong, that they don't need help, or mm-hmm. that they don't need like someone to share how they feel. I do have a little bit of a trouble sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't very easily open up about my problems or about how I feel mm-hmm. at certain moments if I don't feel very well. So that, you know, there is this meme going around, like, check on your strong friend, right? Oh, like, wow. That I really identify with that sentence because, you know, I feel like I very often come across as like very strong personality, someone that's always there to give an advice. And I think I'm good at like giving advice to my friends, but I'm not the best at giving an advice to myself. So occasionally it's nice to like have someone else like check on me, even though I don't look like I need it. But it's sometimes nice. It feels good when someone asks me how I'm doing and if I like need an advice or help with anything.
I love hearing that because I can honestly relate to it as well. I mean, I think for the most part in my circle of friends, I do appear strong as well, and kind of I'm super private, like, which is funny that I wanted to start this podcast because I started my first episode with like a confession that I had, and then, you know, I want to use this platform for other people, but eventually maybe every, I don't know, 20 episodes, 30 episodes, I'm gonna have like a solo episode, because I think you don't just have one confession, people have a million confessions, and it's teaching me to be vulnerable and talk about it, even though it's kind of weird, right? Because I'm not even talking to a friend anymore, it's talking one to a mic and then distributing it everywhere so people can hear,
right?
But I think what I've learned, and it's like, obviously you have to be comfortable, you have to be comfortable with whatever topic you're talking about. You can never force that, you know. If you're not ready to talk about it, you're not ready to talk about it,
right?
But when you are ready and you do talk about it, like, you feel 10 times better afterwards, and two, you never know if somebody else is going to do the same thing. So that's why I'm learning to become, as much as I value my privacy, I'm learning to see the benefit of like maybe like shedding some layers and just right. like being a little more authentic and vulnerable, because I think there is beauty to that. So I agree, because I think I'm also very, I like to think of myself as somebody who is available for, I guess, like a good listener. I think I'm a really good listener. I'm a really good advice giver. But I'm the same way. Like, I'm like, how come you don't ask me how I'm doing? You know, like, or like actually, like, but genuinely.
But you don't probably project the.
Neither do you, though.
Right. So that's why people don't feel like they should ask.
Yeah.
But, you know, also for me, I'm very emotional, mm-hmm. and people don't really know that mm-hmm. I very easily, like, develop feelings for friends, and you know, I consider them to be part of family. So that's why I have to be very cautious about like who I let into my life, and that's why I sometimes do have that front of like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, like trust issues. Yeah, right? Yeah, it's hard because I feel the same way, and when I do let somebody in, mm-hmm. like, then I value you. Like, yes. I value people and relationships so much that, like, if I ever had an argument or an altercation, it makes me feel so like bad. Like, I'm like, oh my god, I need to solve, I need to make it right with you, because I mean, I'm sure you've lost friends before, and it's like horrible, you know.
It is, but then once they're gone,
oh, you're like,
I don't
bye
want ever.
Yeah, it's the best feeling.
Yeah,
but I think also
it's that process of suffering in between.
Yeah.
Until you totally,
and I think as we age then we are more cautious, because when you're a child, you're like, I want to be friends with everybody, you know. You share secrets and you share like playing time, your toys. And then when you grow older, you're like, wait a minute, like, let me analyze this friendship. So
right.
That's so interesting.
Something might be wrong here.
That's so funny. So if somebody is going through the same thing as you, so let's say they're super outgoing, you know, like, just badass, fabulous from their, like, core, but secretly, I guess, like, want people to check in, like, how would you even advise to, like, go about that?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that.
No.
I don't know. I don't think I have an answer to that. They have to kind of,
do you think,
you know, they have to get to know me enough to know how to approach me. I do have a few friends that know exactly how to read me, because once you learn how to read my reactions, I mean, it seems easy to figure it out.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
I have a friend that I've known for years, and I haven't seen him in, like, maybe 8 years. Mm-hmm. But over the phone, he feels exactly like he's seeing my face how I feel.
Right.
Like, he reads me like a book.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy you shared that, because as a friend, and I hope I'm a good friend to you.
Yes, you are.
I think the more time you spend with somebody, the more you learn about
them. Yes.
So, and again, our friendship has been growing for 3+ years now. So I feel like every single encounter we have, we either, you know what I mean? We always, there's like...
We did start slow, very slow, right?
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yes, and then it's now developing into like a more close and we know each other much better.
Yeah, 100%, but... yeah. But I think it's very telling that relationships take work, whether it's romantic, friendship, work relationship, like, mm-hmm. it takes work. And it takes two people.
And communication. Like, yes. Very good communication is important. I think sometimes people don't express how they feel, and that's what ruins it. If the communication is close and you feel comfortable enough to share how you feel about certain things, you know, the other person... If that person cares, we'll at least try to understand.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. I was reading this book. I think it's called The Happiness Equation. I forgot who it's by. But they were basically saying they did a study on these, like, older people, like 90-year-olds. And, like, kind of, like, what their 5 biggest regrets in life are.
Mm-hmm.
And a few... It just, like, it was shocking, because it's actually... I feel like... How do I regress that people have now, like our age? So it's crazy how like 90-year-olds have. And it's basically about like communicating, like fear of being authentic. They regret like not telling people how they feel. Sirens,
yes.
That's New York. But I think it's funny, because in our, I don't even know if it's like a generation thing or like a New York thing, but people think too much about what other people think in terms of like reaction. Of, like, how they feel. Like, oh, I don't want to tell her this because I'm afraid, blah, 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 blah. And it's, like, if you just speak your truth and you speak genuinely, like you said, expressing exactly how you feel, like, that's the best way to go about any situation. To avoid assumptions, to avoid, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, every time I assumed something, it turned out I was wrong.
Yeah, right? And I think maybe even going back to, like, the industries that we work in, it's kind of, I try my best to not make judgments, because you just, again, you never know.
Right.
But, yeah, you just have to be cautious of, like, that initial, like, thought.
Well, I have that problem in romantic relationships. I'm always afraid to, like, ask questions. And I think I'm going to totally change that. Mm-hmm. I will, moving forward, express exactly how I feel and see whether or not it's working out or not. And I have to say, I did make a big step, like, recently. Because I was very direct and I asked. And I was like, hey, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't get the answer I wanted.
Right.
But I'm alive. I survived.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting, because, I mean, I'm currently dating, and I feel like, first of all, dating teaches a lot about you, yourself, about, like, what you want. You're, like, shaking your head. But I've learned that as well. I become more comfortable and confident in what I want and vocalizing that. Because I used to...
I haven't yet, but I'm working on it.
But I think it's so important, because, I mean, yes, you're going to fear about what the other person thinks. Or you might be like, oh my God, maybe I really like this person and I don't want to, you know, say something to mess it up.
Right.
But, like, who cares? Like, first of all, well, we are all adults. And if I'm going to, again, speak my truth, speak how I genuinely feel, and if you react to it in a negative way, then maybe this isn't...
Well, I do have to say, I mean, it took me, like, some courage to ask this person, you know...
Whatever you wanted to ask,
whatever.
Yeah.
But I did feel better after.
Yeah.
Because what? I would spend another, like, weeks, uh-huh. months, thinking, the like, worst, what if?
Exactly, like, that's the worst.
You know, and turns out this person didn't care that yeah, much.
But that's the worst.
Even though I have to say, this person was not a New Yorker. This person was in a different continent. So that also comes, sometimes I'm delusional when it comes to my romantic relationships.
No, but that's true. Like, the whole what if, that applies not even to relationships, but, like, about life, risk. Yeah. Any decision that you want to do, like, just do it, because, like, you rather know than wonder 10 years down the road, oh, absolutely. What if this, what if that? Like, I want to know now, so I'm just going to do it, you know?
Yeah. And,
like, guys, you guys will figure it out.
Like, I think we all have to practice that.
Yeah. More often. It's like, just like Nike, just do it.
It's true. Just ask questions.
Right? Okay, so as we are wrapping up, I just wanted to take a moment.
Yes.
In this time and place.
Yes.
To acknowledge you and express my greatest gratitude and appreciation for not only your time, but your friendship and your existence, because I really, really, again, going back to, like, relationships, I think that's why we do make such great friends, because we value the same things in life, and one of them being relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I am super private, and as much as I seem outgoing, or I try to pretend I am,
right,
deep down, I'm actually reserved and not, like, scared to let people in, but, like, kind of scared. And I think the fact that we've been friends for 3 years and it's growing strong, like, says a lot about just who we are as two people. And, of course, like, we enjoy each other's company. So I really, really do appreciate you. And I truly, truly value and admire you. And, like, your energy is just, like, contagious. Like, I love hanging out with you. And you can never have a bad day with Tiana. Like, if Tiana's in a party, girl, it is going to be a great party. So I just wanted to thank you for, you know, being a great friend and
thank
being here.
Thank you so much, Marianne. I truly appreciate that. It makes me feel really warm and fuzzy.
Good.
Inside.
You should.
You see, to all of us introverts that appear to be extroverts.
It's nice, right? Like,
yes.
And I think, I don't know what's wrong with our world, but I don't think we take time to appreciate people enough.
Yeah.
Like, even with the friends in our life, like, you hang out with them, but, like, you should just be like, hey, girl.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
mean,
like,
we only have today, and I'm happy that, you know, we have each other in our lives, that we are friends, that we're able to communicate well, that we've already had so many great experiences together, and I'm so looking forward to so many more.
Me too.
So, thank you for having
of course.
Me.
Okay, so
on City Confessions.
One last note. Can you tell the audience what you're currently up to, like, for the 2019? Mm-hmm. Anything cool you're working on?
For the 2019, I'm currently working on developing a fashion-oriented show.
Okay.
It's still only in my head. But
but once you put it on the universe, I believe when you manifest it, like, you have to, it becomes reality once you, like, put it out in the world.
Yes, because I would say it's not a new idea, but it's been brewing in my head in 2018.
Right. Trust me, so. I've had this podcast idea for, like, years, and so,
you see?
Yeah.
So I think 2019, I'm actually saying it out loud.
That's good. Okay, so we got to be on the lookout for that. Yes. And I'll keep you accountable. I'll ask you every now and then, like, hey.
Thank you. Please
how
do.
Is that going?
Please do. Please do. I mean, second thing is, I'm definitely going to go for my dream job. I feel like I don't know what I'm waiting for. What I've waited for for so long, but now
the time
I'm
totally
ready. Yes, the time is now. So. Yeah. I'm getting together all the elements of what's needed and
amazing.
Gonna get it out there.
I can't wait. Yeah, this is gonna be the year, right?
I
feel it. Nope, you say yes.
I'm sure it will be.
Okay, this was so great. Thank you so much for being on, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I'll leave all of Tiana's information in the description, so be sure to check that out and stay tuned for the next one.
Thank you, love.